Last time on Dire Wild.
I got a job y'all are coming with.
Walking up to this abandoned church, there is something wrong with the energy around it.
You'll get paid. I just would rather not walk in, take a bullet to the head.
Don't walk in first.
You have entered the Temple of the Dragon.
Oh, shit.
Now there is a scene of the three of you standing in this blast radius. This relic is now glowing like a light bulb.
This is so cool.
And you hear a footstep. A man with a gun in his hand says, "What the fuck are you doing in my house?"
Sometimes silly, sometimes scary, Dungeons & Dragons campaign set in the late 1800s America, plagued with creatures from forgotten realms. Our band of heroes is made up of...
I am Sean, I play Galen Jones, basically a swagger, promiscuous, attractive cowboy that just goes out there and does his manly things.
I am AJ, I play Jiro, the wise craftsman, and patient monk of the group.
And I'm Joe. I play Marco, the mild-mannered school teacher and cleric of our group.
And my name is Will. I am the DM of the group and arbiter of this story. Now, without any further ado, it's time to dim the lights and delve into the heart of darkness that is Dire Wild. We come back to Liberty at sunset with Jiro standing in the middle of the streets, confused, alone, suspicious of what is going on since our last episode. Suddenly, Jiro, you feel a burst of cold air wrap your body. And then past your ankles, you see this white fox run down an alleyway across from you. About 20 feet down the alleyway, it stops in its tracks, turns around, and looks at you with this almost intelligent curiosity. You feel a hand on your shoulder, and when you turn around, you see Galen, with a giant smile on his face. In one hand, he's holding a box of ammo. In the other hand, he's holding a paper envelope that he's jangling around, and you can hear the coins inside. When you turn back to that alleyway, the fox is now gone.
What's up with the big grin on your face?
Not to, you know, sound like cool or anything, but I basically just swindled a shopkeep into free ammo, and he gave me some money. There's definitely something going on here.
Well, knowing that, I'm going to walk down the way I saw the fox.
Just as you start to part from Galen, whether or not you, Galen, were going to follow him or not, the two of you hear this very loud disturbance down the street, and it's a crowd gathered around the entrance of the schoolhouse. I would like Jiro to give me a perception.
Six.
Okay, you did not perceive what this role was for. However, getting to this crowd, you guys hear some almost muffled yelling, and pushing your way to the front, you see Marco laid in the dirt as if he was pushed. 2 feet away from him, standing in the doorway of the school, is another man that actually kind of looks very similar to Marco. Looks like they could almost be brothers. Wearing very similar clothing, have very same body language mannerisms. Their face is almost similar. And he's holding a shotgun, pointing it at Marco. With intense rage on his face, you hear him say, "Don't you ever bother me or this schoolhouse again, or it'll be the last of you, you son of a bitch." And the man slams the door, followed by an audible locking of the door. The two of you, Jiro and Galen, you hear whispers all around you from the town folk talking amongst themselves, saying things like, "Who the fuck does this guy think he is? What does this stranger want with our children? And breaking into the schoolhouse and harassing Mr. Brennan? How despicable. And then the crowd breaks, all of them walking away, giving you, Marco, the most hatred eyes you've ever had of disgust. Marco, what would you like to do?
So as I am rolling over the dirt and dusting myself up, I point my hand at the door and unknowingly cast Thaumaturgy, making my voice boom louder, and I yell at the schoolhouse, "What do you mean I'm not the teacher? This has been my home for the last 5 years."
Just as he yells that, Galen, you notice just down the street from that general store you are at, the shopkeeper barrels out of the door, looking both enraged and scared at the same time, holding a rifle in his hand, whipping his head back and forth, clearly looking for something. And from a distance, you hear him screaming, "Where is he? There's a devil in Liberty! He bewitched me! Where the hell is he?" And then the situation is broken by a shrill scream, not 40 feet from you. When the three of you look over, it's coming from the Red Door Saloon. There is a man who has hung himself from the balcony. What would you guys like to do?
Have I noticed that happened?
When this screaming happened, the three of you immediately turned over and look of what could possible danger be. Is there a bear loose in town?
Can I roll to see if I recognize who the person is that hung themselves?
Actually, everybody roll perception. You can also walk closer to it if you would like. 16 for Galen? 16 for Marco?
4-0.
Are you guys standing where you are, or are you walking closer as you're trying to perceive it?
I'm still in the dirt, aren't I?
You stood yourself up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm walking toward the schoolhouse because I went back in my home.
Okay. So, from where you are all standing, you notice that the two of you, Marco and Galen, you notice that the man who hung himself was Robert Gray, also known as Bob Gray. He is the town physician.
I'm gonna start banging on the door of the schoolhouse because I went back in my home, just shouting over and over again, "Let me in my home, let me in my home."
Okay.
I'm gonna throw my Keegan at the rope and try to cut him down.
Did you walk up to the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walking up to this hanged man, there is a note in the dirt below his feet that in frantic, insane writing just says "no more." And then you are fully welcome to take your cake and throw it up, and the man drops right before you. What you do notice, now seeing him from a better angle, yes, he's dead, but he's only been dead for 2 minutes. He looks like he was somehow sick. It looks like he hasn't slept in a year. It looked like something was wrong with him before he hanged himself. Galen, what are you doing during all this?
I'm kind of interested to see how the schoolhouse thing plays out with Marco, because I know the dude got shocking and I know Marco's Marco. So I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to play out.
Okay. You walk up and kind of just stand like a foot behind Marco. Not participating, you were more just watching out of curiosity of like, oh, well, let's see what happens. Marco is banging on the door, he's screaming, tears streaming down his face, and it's getting to the point for you, Marco, where it's too sad. Your home is not your home anymore. In this moment, Jiro, having your perspective heightened by what you're trying to figure out, you notice something very odd. the sound of a hammer hitting iron on an anvil. You are the only blacksmith in town. You don't have any assistants, and you come to the conclusion that not only is Marco not the school teacher anymore, you are not the blacksmith anymore. You're starting to realize, both Giro and Marco, you have nowhere to sleep tonight. You do not have homes anymore. But there is a sickening, guilt-ridden thought that enters your head, Giro. Just a 10-minute walk outside of town, there is a large house, the Gray House. You are without a home, and the Gray House is without an owner now.
I'm gonna, the dude with the shotgun, is he still out there?
Who?
The shopkeeper.
The shopkeeper has ran off in a random direction looking for Galen. And he ran in the literal opposite direction of where the three of you are.
Galen's just standing in the middle of the street, sees him just run by.
Yep.
He waves.
But he did look very scared and very angry because your spell has worn off. And he remembers being enchanted. So what would you like to do?
So, I'm gonna go grab these guys. Galen and Marco.
At this point, I've just kind of slumped down on the front stoop of the school with my hand in my head. My head in my hands, just kind of like sobbing into the dirt because all my precious books were in there and now they're all gone.
Galen, how are you reacting to him just sobbing in front of you?
I'm upset that I gave up so quickly.
Giro?
I'm gonna smack Marco in the back of the head.
Oh, so you've walked back over the group? Yeah, okay.
So it appears that, like your schoolhouse, my blacksmithing has been overtaken by somebody else.
What?
In my mind, I had this vision of a building outside the city that seems to be unoccupied.
Do you mean the gray house, the manor, yes. the doctor lived in?
Yes.
I wouldn't say unoccupied, but the man just died.
That makes it unoccupied.
Not in a legal sense. I'd still like to point out that even if we... Are you suggesting we go to this house?
I'm going to the house. If you want to come with, by all means, but I'm going.
That's breaking and entering.
The man's dead. I don't care.
Galen, what do you think of this?
Oh yeah, we're gone.
Well, good man.
Why do we need to go to the Gray House?
This man hung himself. If we're going to find any answers about why he did that, and this note I found, it would be there.
Oh, we're going to investigate. You said we were going there to stay for the night.
That too.
Well, like the good Dickens always said, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but something along the lines of, let's go look at this shit then.
Well, let's go then.
So are you all departing from Liberty?
I guess.
Yeah. The sun is almost down at this point.
While we're traveling there, I'm going to ask Giro why he thinks somebody is replacing us.
Well, somebody was in your schoolhouse, right? Well, somebody was in my smithy.
Well, yes, but what do you think is good? Could it be that weird talisman thing that we touched?
Possibly.
Galen, have you had a chance to go to the ranch yet to see if it's the same for you?
Considering I have been with y'all the whole time, I'm not going to answer that question.
So that's a no, then.
Obviously.
Well, don't you think we should just go to the ranch and see if it's the same at the ranch before we start investigating some man's murder, or not murder, or suicide?
Is the mansion closer than the ranch?
Yes, it is.
Well, the mansion's closer, and... I'm trying to, like, sleep. So, We're just going to the mansion.
And considering that we've both been replaced, not hard to imagine that he's been replaced too.
From Liberty, it takes you guys about a 10-minute walk to the Gray House. The few things you do know about Robert Bob Gray, he came here from the East Coast. None of you know him well enough to know specifically where, somewhere in the New England era. He came here with his wife and young daughter. His wife going to visit what you presume was family back in the East, got into a terrible chariot crash and died around 3 months ago. When Bob got the news, he wasn't very certain of himself on how he could be a single father. So a month after the death of Eleanor, his wife, he sent Ruth, his 8-year-old daughter, to live with her grandparents back East. For the last 2 months, he's lived in this house almost entirely alone. Walking up to the Gray House, it is a very nice, very large house, but there's something automatically strange about it. The three of you knew where this was, but you've never been here. You knew that it had a reputation for being almost manor-like, almost mansion-like, bigger than anyone's house in Liberty, but you've never actually seen it with your own eyes. It is built in the same structural fashion that everything in Liberty is, but the aesthetic of it doesn't fit what you expected. The front of the house is entirely flat, no features save for the front door. All of the windows are on the ends of the house. Not an entirely off-putting aspect, but strange. Aren't windows normally at the fronts and backs of houses? It might not be off-putting, but it is strange enough to notice. How would you guys like to enter this house? Galen.
This is kind of just like a out there question. Because I do underground fighting.
Yes.
I'm assuming I saw this physician a lot.
You saw him a lot in his practice in the city?
Yes.
Very seldom has he ever taken someone to his own house.
Well, I'm not worried about that. It's more or less, would I be able to use a, like, intelligence or history or whatever to, like, recall certain things he said that can, like, help me remember more about this dude? If he's, like, talked about his life or, like, his house or, like, what he does in his spare time type thing.
Yeah. Give me an intelligence check.
Okay. To imagine that the good doctor and myself have at least had conversations in and around here. I want to see if he maybe mentioned anything to me about if he was feeling unwell or anything like that.
Two of you have only ever met in passing. It wasn't like you were getting drinks together. The only time the three of you even saw him in town was while he was at his office. You never saw him other than that.
Okay.
So let's say a year ago you broke your arm. That's when you saw Bob. Outside of that, you never really talked to him.
Okay.
What'd you 13.
Get?
What'd you say?
13.
3 months ago, you noticed he was very distressed. He's a widower. He was very moody in the way that he was sad and down, as you would expect him to be. A couple weeks later, he got more nervous looking and guilty, and which you soon figured out was guilt over sending his daughter to live back on the East Coast. After that, you could still see something was affecting him, but for the next 2 months, he was more or less the same person, save for the guilt and the depression affecting him how you think it would.
Okay, then on that note, ain't got a knock, you know, for a dead man, right in through the door.
All right. With the three of you walking up to this front door, Galen, you reach forward and grab the doorknob, and it just opens. The door was not locked. When he left this house, he had a plan. Didn't really give a shit about locking the door behind him. When you walk into the house, right across from the front door is a large set of double doors. Next to that is an open archway. Directly to your right is a stairway up, and between the stairway and that open archway is a hallway leading down to, from what you can only somewhat see from the moonlight coming in through the windows, you can tell it's some form of kitchen. Most of the house, though, except for these few things I've said, are pitch black.
I'm gonna go
to the stairs, try to find a bedroom, and crash for the night.
Okay. Can the three of you let me know how you are illuminating your way through this house?
They didn't have electric lights yet, like not even the basic part. It would have been lamp lighting. I'm going to go and find a lamp and light the lamp.
We should have, next to his lamp, you should have something to light it with.
Maybe. It's pitch black, though.
Why do we walk into a pitch black house without something to light it with?
So,
two of you have ways to light this.
Oh, I literally have a spell that can do it, but I'm not going to use that spell because he has no idea.
So, I'm going to see Marco struggling with the
fumbling around.
Lantern.
Yeah. The only illuminated parts of this first floor are the windows with moonlight coming in towards that kitchen end of the house and the moonlight coming through the open front door now.
I don't know if this is the way that you're thinking of how I can illuminate,
but you said I can see the stairs, right?
You can dimly see the stairs next to you.
Yeah. So, obviously, I mean, anybody can walk upstairs in the dark, right?
Theoretically.
Well, once I get up the stairs, I just want to basically start popping off rounds and start using like muzzle flash to light, to see where I'm going.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's not what you thought. I was
no, but fuck it, sauce.
Exactly. No one's here.
Yeah. Give me a survival with triple disadvantage for doing this. Jiro, what did you say you were going to do?
I'm going to walk up past Marco, grab the lantern, and pull out a match, and light it.
Light the first lantern?
Yeah.
All right.
And then take that one. And then just hand him a match and say, find another one.
Okay. I'm going to assume you're going to spend the next few minutes turning on and lighting all the oil lamps on these walls.
Yep.
So now the first floor is completely illuminated, save for some oil lamps that you found were broken or torn off the wall or something. Let's go back to Galen, because I saw him freaking out over his rolls.
I just want you to know, I had triple disadvantage, right?
Yes.
I rolled a 16, 17, and 18.
Okay.
I'm proud of that.
I'm totally.
So 16.
Okay. So Galen, you're walking up these steps. You're moving slowly enough that you can navigate through an unfamiliar household in almost pitch black. When you get to the top of the stairs, you see behind you that now the first floor has been illuminated. I'm gonna guess that you have something to the tune of, bitches, fucking needs lights to see.
Exactly.
How many rounds are you popping off?
As long as it takes for me to find the bedroom. So, shoot down a hallway, find a door, open the door, shoot in the room, lock,
okay.
Just like that.
I am going to roll to see how well you retain what you see in that half second of light.
Okay.
So it takes you three rounds. You get to the top, around, you can see the basic structure very quickly to know almost where you're going. The second round you fire off, you have been able to tell that to the right of you is the rooms, to the left of you is a banister going around the stairway, and between the rooms is a large hutch or cabinet that is not attached to the wall, stands freely, but up against that wall. And then using the third shot, you fire, and after you see her, you see the door to the room.
To the bedroom?
The larger looking of the two bedrooms.
Oh, okay.
Marco, what would you like to do?
Have I got this lamp lit?
Yeah, the two of you, Jiro and Marco, went around the first floor, and all the lamps that weren't broken, you were able to light. Okay. What are you doing?
I'm going to look for the good doctor's office.
Okay, so now being somewhat mostly lit, here's a more extensive layout of the first floor. The double doors that you came in and saw, trying to go in there, there's something blocking it from the other side. Down the hall from that, directly next to it, is a large parlor with a fireplace and a lot of paintings on the walls and some nice chairs. And if you're standing in the middle of the room, you have two ways to go from there, save for where you came in from. There's another set of double doors in the way of that other room. Trying that, it is also blocked. You cannot open it from, there's something on the other side stopping it. To your right is another open arched doorway into the kitchen.
Okay. At the fireplace, is there any fire starting material? Is there wood in the fireplace or any wood sitting around?
There is the very last bit of charred wood, and there is no reserved wood next to it. In the rack where they would have kept the firewood, it is completely empty. The only thing left is the bare minimum of wood from after a fire.
Okay.
Above the fireplace is a very nice portrait of Robert Gray, his wife, Eleanor, and their daughter, Ruth.
Okay.
Jiro, what would you like to do?
I'm gonna find a nice corner in the building.
Okay.
And sit down. Next, I go on it and pull out my two tantos and kind of just hold them on my lap.
Okay.
Fall asleep.
Start to nod off?
Yeah.
Okay. The best place for this would be the parlor where he is currently, where Marco is currently standing, where there is the nice chairs. You can take a chair and just shift it to one corner of the room. You sit down, you take out your two tantos. You sit down and try to fall asleep while you see Marco kind of walking around investigating what's happening or the structure of the household. Galen, what would you like to do?
Oh, dude, I'm racking out.
You're going into this bedroom?
Yeah.
Okay. Going through this door, as soon as you close the door behind you, you are in complete blackness. Just utter darkness. You cannot see a single thing in front of you at all. How would you like to try and navigate towards this bed?
You already know.
You're gonna pop off another few rounds?
So I'm assuming this room has no windows since it's complete.
No, it has one window. If you go through the door, there is a dual set of windows to your left, but they are facing away from the moon right now, so there is barely any light coming through.
Okay.
How much damage has Galen done to his eardrums by his...
We are forgetting that, because this is a fun game.
Illumination. He's walking through, just popping off around. He's being deaf. He's completely deaf.
Yeah.
All I gotta do is just shoot one more round. Once I find out where the bed is, okay. Fucking, I'm knocking.
He shoots right. The cat.
So, you pop off another round, and when you move past it, you lay down in the bed. Try to fall asleep in this unfamiliar territory. Marco, what would you like to do?
I would like to go over and pick up one of the lanterns that is in the room with us. It's mounted on the wall. Does he not have like a hand candle or something sitting around the parlor?
You can find one, yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna get like a candle or something I can hold in my hand.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to journey upstairs, lighting whatever light fixtures are off on my way up. And after hearing another gunshot.
Which, To be fair, Marco and Jiro, you are not at all surprised by these.
No, not at all. Neither one of us even jumped.
You took one and one, made two out of it. He has a gun, and it's dark up there. You were able to do that math out, like real
that,
quick.
That, yeah.
I'm gonna find another candle, light it, walk into, follow the sound of the gunshot to the room where Galen is at, and just very nonchalantly just kind of put the candle in the room and then just walk down the hallway the other direction.
Okay.
Boy.
Just kind of do a, you could have waited a second, kind of a little like half-assed, like snide little look at him.
Yeah. So you have not fallen asleep yet, Galen.
I know.
So all of a sudden the door opens. You see Marco peer through like a child telling his parent that he had a nightmare. Put the candle down and then just walk back out.
So, because I'm a man and I'm no bitch, I'm going to take that candle.
Shoot out the flame.
I'm going to throw it out and be like, I don't need no light. I'm trying to sleep.
Marco, walking back down the hall from this friendly gesture, you're halfway down, and all of a sudden the metal base hits you first, and then you feel the flame snuffed out by hitting your back. It's hot for a second, and then it's whatever. But you just see him, you see Galen look at you like, come on, dude, and then just slam the door.
So, in that case, I'm just going to keep walking. Just kind of just shake my head. Yeah. Keep walking down the hallway. I'm looking for the doctor's office.
The doctor's office would not be upstairs. Like now having turned on, now turning on all the lamps available to you up here, it's enough light all around the house to see where you are going. It's not completely dark, but it is not completely bright. It is dim in some corners. If there are areas that lamp is broken, it's not exactly lit as well as everything else, but you're not gonna be stumbling over things. Upstairs, from what you can see, around the banister from the stairs, there's a small reading nook that is opposite from where Galen is. Other side of the hall, past that hutch, is another door to a smaller room. You can presume would be Ruth's room. Opposite from that is what looks like some sort of linen closet, storage, something. But nothing up here would actually be the study.
Okay. So I'm going to first walk over to the linen closet,
mm-hmm.
open it up, see if there's any spare blankets or anything in there for me and Jiro. And then I am going to, after looking through the linen closet, I am going to drop some of the blankets down the stairs and just shout down to Jay and go, I found you some blankets. And then I'm going to go sit in the little reading nook and look through his collection of books and see if there's anything interesting to read.
Okay. So throwing these down, you see it at the bottom of the stairs. And then kind of back away and go into the reading nook.
I have one for myself as well.
You have one for yourself. There's no actual books up here. It is more of just a chair and a nightstand.
Oh, I'm going to read my little black book.
Yeah. Galen?
Oh, I just wanted to say, as he's like making all this racket and shouting, I'm mm-hmm. just going to like shoot at the door and be like, yo, we're trying to sleep.
Yeah. So, kind
is
of pissed.
Shots your way of expressing?
Pissed.
It's me getting to the point of like, dude, stop what you're doing.
Pissed off at this point.
I'll death this you right now.
We're ignoring that. It's a game.
D4 of damage for every shot.
So, pretty pissed off at this point about all the hubbum bubba that Marco's making. You take your pistol that I presume you would have close to you at all times.
Oh, yeah.
You shoot and you see the light illuminate it and put a hole through the door. Now you've created a small beam of light into the room.
This is shining on his face.
Yeah, it's shining right in your eye.
The giant battle just shift.
Yeah. And so where did you go, Marco?
The
reading nook?
Reading nook.
Okay. So, Jiro, give me a constitution save to see how easy it is for you to fall asleep in this form.
19.
19? You are starting to nod off. You're actually not terribly uncomfortable. And at this point, after everything that's happened in the last day, you just want to fucking sleep at this point. Marco, sitting alone at the end of this hallway, you start to hear foot creaks from somewhere in the house. And a muffled, almost groaning.
I'm gonna call out, Jay, is that you?
When he says this, you are way too close to sleep to respond. You're kind of like, ah, he'll figure it out.
I just want to know. I don't know if this is something that like you distinctly don't want me to hear, but I want to use this as an opportunity to become even more pissed off at him. Be like, mm-hmm. Bro, I told you to stop making fucking noise. Like, why are you walking around?
Yeah, you definitely hear this. So are you yelling that at him?
Oh, like I'm busting out the door and okay. I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
Stop making this noise.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold my hand
so
up.
So you get up. There's a little bit more light in this now, so you can kind of sort of see the room. And you walk past it and open the door. And you open the door and you see them just sitting there. And you're just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Do you just slam the door then? Actually, how do you respond?
Before he gets a chance to slam the door, I hold my hand up and I go, in a whisper, Galen. There's someone else in the house. Like, I'm like, put my hand in my mouth. I'm like, going, shut the fuck up. There's somebody else in here. I hear someone walking around.
Man, they need to shut up too then.
At that moment, you're pretty much exactly asleep now. Jiro, you're out.
Jiro doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. The two of you, however, being pretty much right above where the front door actually is, you can hear over that banister down through the stairs. You hear fiddling with something downstairs, like some mechanism, and then a door open.
Jay, what are you doing?
The two of you look over this banister and look down at the door, and walking through it is a very well-dressed woman with blonde, tight-knit hair. As soon as she walks through the door, she sees the two of you looking at her and gives you a mixture of scared and a confused face. And you don't know what the fuck is going on. And that's where we're going to leave off for this episode. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time to see what new horrors our adventurers will face. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends about us. We can be found on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Breaker, Radio Public, and Spotify. And we would love the company. Thanks again, and we will see you on the next episode of Dire Wild.